So good morning, everybody, or good afternoon if you're back.
Nathan from Baker Lake
has joined. Awesome. So
hi,
I heard
everybody.
Nathan just joined. Hey, Nathan, we're just getting started. I just started the conference call recording, so you're right on time. That's perfect.
Thank you. Here, I'll press mute so I won't interrupt. I'm just eating.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it's lunchtime in Baker Lake, so Okay, so I am in the chat that's connected. I can use both chats. There's a, I think, Nick, it's just you and I that are actually on the computer. Everybody else is just on the phone. So the main chat that we're using, you go to learn.recnorth.ca, and under My Courses, you will select Recreation and Sports Systems. And then you go down to where it says chat, number 2 conference call Thursday. And when you click that link, a new page opens up, and then you can say enter the chat now. So that's how we get into the chat. So perfect. I see that you're in there, Nick. Thanks. So what we're going to do today then is deal with the technology that's working again, as it did yesterday, but it's all good. So I'd like to welcome all of you to the conference call. It's the first one for RS101 Recreation and Sports Systems. And I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting it from the traditional territories of the Kwamundun First Nation and Tonkwatchin Council. So this learning event is a really important one for those of you working in the field of recreation or even recreation and sport in your communities, because what we try and do here is introduce sort of the mix or the blend of groups and relationships and resources and policies and all sorts of things that make up our system, so our recreation and sports system. When you understand a bit better some of the different parts of this system and you understand how they work, then it makes your job actually a bit easier, because what you can do is you know who to go to for information, you know where to get funding, you know where to get direction for things that you want to do. So this is quite a foundational learning event. We'll look at some of the different components of the system right from your own community level to your territory and nationally as well. And then we'll look at the different roles of like the public or government sector, the nonprofit sector, and the private sector. We'll talk about how we work with other sectors, and we'll also talk a little bit about the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's calls for action that are related to sport. So on our conference calls, we usually begin with a round of introductions and then go over some of the week's content and then have a conversation. And as you notice, the slides sort of guide the conversation. Sometimes I must admit I do change the questions a little bit. So I think that we'll have a great conversation today. We've got quite a few people on the call. I see that Andrew and Trista are now on the call as well. So what I'd ask you to do is, when we go around our circle, if you don't mind, you know, answering in about 10 to 15 seconds so that we can give everybody a chance to reply. And as some of you know, listening is just as important as sharing. So if you prefer to listen, please just say pass. Or you can also, if you're in the chat, you can also type an answer in the chat and I'll read it for you too. So however you want to participate in this conversation today is entirely up to you. So what I'm going to do is I'll pop the first question I have for you into the chat, and I'd like to ask you to introduce yourself. If you could tell us, again, your name, what your community you're in, and what your role is in the community, because as I mentioned, we've got some new people joining us so that they get a sense of where everyone's from. And then just explain in about 5 seconds what comes to mind when you
has joined.
Hello, Trista. Thanks for joining us. We're just getting started, so we're just starting our introduction. So when you introduce yourself, in about 5 to 10 seconds, just explain what comes to mind when you think of a system. So I'll go first, and then I'm going to ask you just to go in the order that you joined the call, because that helps me. I've written it down. So the order will be Jed, Haley, Morgan, Rebecca, Scott, David, Peter, Tim, Nick. And then Aglulik, and then Nathan, and then Trista. And if did I miss anyone from that list? Okay, awesome. So I'll introduce myself, and then, Jed, I'll give you, 10 seconds to introduce yourself, and then over to Haley, and then over to Morgan. So my name's Caroline Sparks. I live in Whitehorse in the Yukon, and I'm the learning consultant for the Recreation North Training Program. When I think of a system, I think that of something that has lots of different parts that are supposed to work together really well, but don't always. So that's what comes to mind for me. So, Jed, how about yourself? Could you introduce yourself and share what comes to mind when you think of a system?
Yeah, I am Jed, and I work with Recreation in Teslin. And when I think of a system, I think of a bunch of pieces working some way to make a thing do something.
That's great. Yeah, you put things together and something's supposed to happen. So thank you, Jed. Over to you, Haley. And if anybody wants to pop their answer in the chat, please go ahead and do that, and I'll read it when it comes around to you. So we'll go from Haley and then Morgan, then Rebecca.
Hi, I'm Haley. I'm the rec assistant in Teslin. And what comes to mind when I hear the word system is a group of people or things that come together to form like one consistent thing.
That's great. So it's like all these people or a group or something, and something needs to be like consistent or well planned or well thought out. Thanks, Haley. Over to you, Morgan, and then Rebecca, and then Scott. So, Morgan, you popped in the chat. I can read that for you, and then we'll go to Rebecca and Scott. So Morgan is from Pugluktuk, and she's the youth coordinator from the Hamlet. And she said what comes to mind when she thinks of a system is a group of people that have things planned out and have it organized. That's planning and organization is definitely something that we associate with systems. Thank you, Morgan. Rebecca, how about yourself? We'll go to you, then Scott, then David.
Hi, my name is Rebecca Penny. I'm originally from Trustee Nunavut, living in Massey Drive, Newfoundland. And I'm the executive director in training for Nunavut Arctic Sports Association. When I think of a system, I say it's like you need not only one thing or one person to have a system, you need other things to work as a system. You need other help.
That's great. Thanks. So a system isn't just one thing. So it's many things. Thank you very much. And welcome from the other side of the country to me. So thanks, Rebecca. Let's go to Scott, then David, then Peter.
Hi, I'm Scott. I'm ED for the Hay River Youth Center here in the Hay River at Hatlow Day in Western Territory. And for me, a system is something that relies on processes that are repeatable.
It relies on processes?
Processes that are repeatable.
Oh, okay. That's a good way. So it's kind of like processes or behaviors or actions, like things that happen.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, welcome, Scott. Thank you for joining us. Okay, let's go to David, then Peter, and then Tim, then Nick.
Okay.
So, David, about 10 seconds, if you wanted to introduce yourself and let us know what comes to mind when you think of a system.
Okay, sorry, I had you muted. I thought I had you unmuted before, but in any case, yes, David Jennings, program coordinator, Elder Active, Whitehorse, Yukon. What comes to my mind when I think of system is either mechanics or people. various elements working together towards a common output, goal, or objective.
That's great. So there's some end thing that the system is supposed to be doing or working towards or producing. So thank you very much for that, David. Okay, let's go to Peter, then Tim, then Nick. So over to you, Peter.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Hi there. My name is Peter, and I'm the Active Living Coordinator for the Recreation and Parks Association of the Yukon in Whitehorse. And I think of the system as just a collection of components that come together to work towards what a common goal, kind of like everyone else said.
Yeah, and with this many people on the call, you can say ditto. I agree with what everyone else has said. That's okay to say that. Thanks, Peter. And what I do is, with this many people on the call, I won't always put the same person first. So that, you know, by the time it gets to you, you don't have anything else to say. So we'll vary where we start in our circle. Thanks, Peter. Over to you, Tim, and then we'll go Nick, and then we'll go to Glulik. So Tim's popped in here that he's in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan on Treaty 6 land, homeland of the Woodland Cree, Plains Cree, Swampy Cree, Dene, Dakota, and Métis Nations. And usually he's in Yellowknife. And Tim says he thinks of a system as a cloud of interconnectedness with many pathways from point to point, some direct, some indirect, and doing something. That's a really great way of putting it. I started looking up in the sky when you said that. Thanks, Tim, and welcome. Okay, let's go over to Nick, and then we'll go to Glulik, and then to Nathan. So, Nick, if you'd like to unmute and introduce yourself and share what comes to mind. You popped it in the chat, too. Okay, great. So, Nick is the Executive Director at the Mount Lorne Community Association, and a system to Nick is a community of many parts coming together, each with their own strengths and purposes for something greater than the individual part. Oh, I like that. Thank you very much. That's a great way of putting it. Thanks, Nick. Okay, let's go all the way from the Yukon end all the way over to Igloolik. So come on up, Pick, and Trevor and Andrew, you decide who wants to introduce themselves first, and if you can just share together one thing that you think of when you hear the word system. So over to you.
Me? Hello?
Hi, I can hear you. Oh, I think you just muted yourself. Come on up here. Yeah, now you're unmuted. There you go.
Okay. So is it our turn?
It is your turn. So if you could each say your name, your community, what you do in your community, and maybe all together just what you think of when you hear the word system, which is a big word.
Okay. Coming up, Pete Malmatia, Recreation Coordinator for the municipality of Igloolik. And when I think of a system, I'm picturing an algorithm of organizations, societies, clubs, and groups working together to have anything going on.
That's great. That to me says it's a lot bigger than just a few people. It's groups in your community, or it could even be beyond your community as well. Thank you, Kamanopit. Would Trevor or Andrew like to introduce themselves next?
Trevor will pass. Let me ask Andrew. Andrew said he'll do it on the chat.
Awesome. Thank you. So there's three people in Igloolik all working together. So thank you for joining us. Let's go to Nathan and then Trista. Nathan and then Trista.
Hi there. My name's Nathan Ananote. I am the Baker Lake Recreation Coordinator. And a system to me is a group of things or people all working together in a complex organization all having the same goal or the same destination. And then once you reach that destination, you go right back to the beginning and start all over and do it again. Thank you.
That sounds like a lot of work, Nathan. But that's great. I like how you explained that. Thank you. Thanks for joining us today. And Trista's popped in the chat. She's the recreation programmer, for Ignace, Ontario. And when she thinks of a system, it's well-organized plan that works towards a goal. So I really like, thank you for introducing yourselves. As you can see from your replies, systems can be small, like a group of people, or really big, like different groups and organizations working together. You also talked about the connection or the interconnectedness and the way that those pieces should work together and ideally are working towards a goal or a destination. Thank you for sharing that. And I think it's really important for us to think of our recreation and sports system because it is very complicated. It's got many different parts. We also have other complex systems in our lives like justice or health or education. So one thing we need to do is recognize that the recreation and sports system is what I would call an open system. So what that means is that it does work between the parts inside of it, and the parts include people, policies, organizations, resources, infrastructure, facilities, things like that. But it's an open system because things from outside it might influence what happens. So if you think about things like the policies that we had to put into place during the pandemic, those policies were things that became part of our system. We had to put them in our system because of something from outside the system that affected us. And then it changed how our recreation system worked. So during the pandemic, many people weren't able to participate in recreation and sport the way that they wanted to. So that's an example of how something bigger than our system can make us change and adjust what happens in our system. And then, as Nathan used the word destination, where we were going or the goals or the things we were trying to achieve looked a bit different during the pandemic. So this week, we encourage you to take time to learn a bit more about our recreation and sports system. When you understand how it works, as I said, you can better make it work for you. So I'd like to take a moment and consider how internal things within the system and things outside of the system affect how it works. So if you have slides on for the presentation, on slide number 6, it shows what a local food system might look like. And things that influence the system might be things like policies, gas or freight prices, weather patterns that affect how much rain there is. The pandemic affected our food system, how we could get it, unemployment, and all sorts of things like that. Whether there's a fire in your local grocery store would affect your local food system. I'd like to go around our circle then and ask you for one thing that you think affects our sport and recreation system. And so not to put anybody on the spot this time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let's start with David this time. So I'll go first, and then we'll start with David, then Peter, then Tim, then Nick. And I'll pop the question that I have for you in the chat. So David, while you're thinking of your answer and unmuting, the question to you is, what is one thing that affects our sport and recreation system? Just one thing.
Ease of access. When I'm thinking ease of access, what I'm thinking is transportation, ability to pay.
Great. So two quite big things. So transportation and ability to pay, which it could also relate to cost, right?
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much for that. Peter, what's one thing that you think affects our sport and recreation system?
I was going to say something similar. Funding is a really big one. And also just even just like staffing, like people willing to do it. It's another big one.
That's great. Thanks. So we're going to go, Tim has popped in the chat, and then we'll go to Nick and to Agulik and then Nathan. So Tim has said our elected governments and their sort of their decision making or the direction which they take in politics. That's a really big one. Thank you, Tim. Some governments like to put money into facilities, so that affects our system. And some people like to, some governments tend to place a priority on things that are just physical activity, which is part of recreation, but not all of it. So thanks for that, Tim. Nick, what is one thing that you think, one factor that affects the recreation and sports system? Nick's got a local one. So Peter said staffing. Nick has said community involvement and volunteers. Most definitely. So you can see that at a community level, but also at a national level, you know, sort of the people's attitudes towards volunteering have changed. So that, you know, affects the system throughout. So thank you for that, Nick. Kumanatik and Andrew and Trevor, is there one thing that you think affects our recreation and sports system? That's right. So accommodations and a gym and places where you play sports. So if that's a good example. So if you believe in the importance of sport and recreational sport, but you don't have places for that, or the places in our small communities are not suitable, they're falling down and things like that, then that is a big challenge too. The other thing, Kumanopic, that makes me think about when you say accommodations is in some of our small communities, we rely on people to come into our community to help us with recreation and sport. And if there's nowhere to stay, we can't have them come in our community. So thank you very much for that. Nathan, and then we'll go Trista, then Haley, because I think Jed's left the call. So, Nathan, what do you think affects our sport and recreation system, either something from the outside or something from the inside?
Excuse me. I think the problem I mainly have is always funding, but the reason why funding is such a big issue is everything is so expensive, like hotels, airfare, even, how do you call it, their fee or perform something down south they would do for hundreds of dollars to go up here. Sometimes they want like 10 times the money, like since it's so isolated. So, and it's always because there's no place to stay, accommodation, money, and people. It's very hard finding the right people to do it.
That's, I really like how you point out the money and the funding, because even across our three territories, like from the Yukon to NWT to Nunavut, the cost of doing something like a recreation conference is so different. So the conference in the Yukon, for example, might cost about $30,000. And I'm not sure, but I suspect the one that just happened in Nunavut was closer to $150,000 and probably for about the same number of people. So you're right, like the funding and the money, but it's the cost of goods in some of our communities that really affects the system. So thanks for pointing that out, Nathan. Trista's popped in the chat that staff and volunteers affect our system. Let's go to Haley and then Morgan, then Rebecca, then Scott. So Haley, is there anything that you think affects our recreation and sports system that somebody hasn't already said?
No, I just agree with everybody else.
Great, thank you. And Morgan, is there anything else that comes to mind for you that might affect our recreation and sports system? And exactly, so Morgan's popped the pandemic in the chat, and that's had a huge impact, and I think it's going to continue to impact us. So we do things differently. We might have fewer people in some of our programs, or we might have different policies around how we look after our facilities. So thank you, Morgan. Rebecca, is there anything else that you think might affect our recreation and sports system?
I was going to say what Nathan said, and we learned a lot about like how to apply for a grant and all that in Italy. So that's how I was going to say money, funding.
Yeah. And that's interesting that you said you learned how to apply for them, but part of that is also learning to look for them. And that can be a hard part too. So, you know, where you get that funding from, there are different sources, but sometimes it's hard to know. So that requires us to connect sometimes with funders outside of the system. So thank you for that. And Scott, anything that you can think of? Sorry to leave you till the end this round. I won't next time. But is there anything else that you find from your experience affects the recreation and sports system?
I think maybe our ability to accommodate people of, you know, different abilities and different identities.
Yeah, and that's definitely shifted over the last 10 to 20 years. So I think that that's an important thing. When social trends or social changes happen, it does influence how we do things inside the system. Is that sort of what you mean?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think a lot of our, it's a bigger conversation, but a lot of our systems are sort of focused towards what was once perceived to be a norm in terms of, you know, the abilities or the identities of people who are going to access them. But now that we live in 2022, we realize that we need to broaden these opportunities to be able to incorporate everybody, if that makes sense.
That does, yeah. So I and that speaks to things happening outside of our system, but also what we need to do inside the system to change and adjust. So thank you for pointing that out. Another couple of things, like Morgan mentioned the pandemic. Trevor's popped in sponsors for sure. The other thing that I would suggest really affects our system has been climate change. It's affected things like natural ice arenas and, how we go out on the land and recreate out on the land as well. Coming out of the pandemic, we're going into some economic hard times. Like there'll probably be some hard times, so that might affect, what we can afford to do as well. So there's lots of things that do affect our recreation and sports system. So thank you for sharing your perspectives. I think you came up with many, many good ideas. So the other thing to think about is our recreation and sports system is affected a little bit by the structure around us. So I just wanted to share a few things with you about the difference between recreation and sport. And I think this is important to understand. Recreation, the way our system works, recreation is seen as a local community, municipal hamlet responsibility. And we do get support. We're lucky in the territories. We get support from our provincial and territorial governments, probably in the provinces a little bit less than what the territories get. But there's less support for recreation from the federal government. The federal government the Canadian government sees recreation as a community responsibility. It's a little different with sport. So sport is directed by the Canadian Sport Policy, which has a place under Heritage Canada, which is part of the federal government. So because it has this place there and because it's a policy, there's more top-down direction. So we have national sport organizations. We have territorial ones like the Nunavut Arctic Sport Association, and then we have community organizations like a local soccer club in Hay River, for example, or something like that. And so because the federal government sees its role in sport, it means that money for sport flows a little bit more from the top or from the big down to the smaller. So often we don't get as much at the community level for sport, but we get a bit more for recreation. So it's important to understand that because it will help you understand where your funding comes from and how it works in your community. So activity one in this learning event and also this week's required learning activity or RLA invite you to learn a little bit more about the factors that influence the sport and recreation system. And nationally and territorially, we have some sort of public documents that drive or guide what we do in our work. And there's ways, although there are big documents and some of them cover the whole country, I invite you to find the ways that you see yourself in them. So I just wanted to give you a quick overview of what those are, because I know our site was down yesterday and you might not have had a chance to look. And then what we're going to do is we're going to have a conversation, and I'm going to invite you to either ask a question about one of the documents, or if you think about it, you know, explain perhaps how it connects to what you do. So the framework for recreation in Canada, which we've talked about in other learning events, is a guiding document for public or community or recreation providers in Canada. So all of you working in communities with recreation, this is an important document to provide some guidance for your work. The framework is an opportunity for us to work together in ways that help Canadians enjoy recreation and outdoor experiences in supportive environments. So there are 5 goals for the framework for recreation in Canada that are introduced in a number of ways throughout this learning event, and each have their own sort of priority actions. So the framework it doesn't tell us what to do, but it invites us to hear what's important across the country and see our role in that. What can we do to do things that help advance the framework? So, for example, one of the priorities for the leadership goal is to help develop leaders in rural, remote, and northern communities. And that's what the Recreation North Training Program aims to do. So that's our place in the framework. Another document that's a little newer is called Parks for All, and it's an action plan for Canada's parks community that was supported by the Canadian Parks and Rec Association and the Canadian Parks Council. And it aligns with the framework's goals, particularly goal number 3. In 2018, the Public Health Agency of Canada, which is a federal government, released the Common Vision for Increasing Physical Activity and Reducing Sedentary Living. And it's a national document that focuses on physical activity and how that's related to sport, recreation, health, and other areas. And it doesn't really tell us who's going to do what. What it does is it invites everybody to see their role in helping Canadians move more. The Canadian sport policy is a common thread for our sport system. The current one is expiring this year, and they're renewing one. So you can expect to see it probably shortly after Christmas. It'll probably be announced, I'm guessing, at the Canada Winter Games in February. And this is a policy, so it sets more direction for governments and organizations around sport. So a little bit different to the Common Vision and also to the framework. And then I just wanted to point out that, those are all national ones. And then at a territorial or provincial level, some governments have frameworks or strategies that tie all 3 together, and some have frameworks that align with one and then another one. So, for example, in Nunavut, and for those of you on the call in Nunavut, this is a really important one to become familiar with, you have a sport, physical activity, and recreation framework that came out in 2020, and it's for 10 years. And what it does is it aligns sort of some of those bigger priorities that are national with local values, local interests, and it's grounded in Inuit societal values. It also reflects the priorities that people groups and communities from across Nunavut shared when it was created. And as those of you in Nunavut are aware, youth are an important target group in Nunavut. So Kumanovic and Andrew and Trevor, you might recognize the photo on the front page of your framework. It was taken by Neil in Iqaluit. So that's a good one for you to have a look at. So that's a lot of talking for me. So I'm going to invite you. You don't have to join in this round if you don't want to. It's an opportunity for you to ask a question or just reflect on how one of these documents might influence or could influence what you do. So I'm going to start with, oh, I lost my list there. Let's start with Nick, if you don't mind. I'm going to put you on the spot. We'll start with you this time, and I'll pop the question in the chat so you can see what it is. And my question is, thinking about these documents, is there a question that you have, or is there one that you think might influence the work that you do in recreation? And for this one, you can say pass, or you're invited to ask a question or just describe how it might connect. So we'll go from Nick, and then to Iglulik, and then Nathan, and then Trista. So over to you, Nick.
Yeah. Hi, how are you? Oh, I'm supposed to be on a conference call, and have the call here and trying to see the chat boxes, and it's just not working right. But
anyway, well, my name is Rosalie.
Okay, I think some, I hear a couple of people talking in the background, so I'm just going to mute that. Okay.
I should be on
maybe
mute.
Not, but, yeah, I just muted David. Okay, there we go. So Nick has the inclusion and access component or the goal in the framework resonates with him, especially cultural inclusion in programs. So thank you for that, Nick. Kumanopic, Andrew, and Trevor, I don't know if you have a question about one of those documents or if you see how one of them might help you in your work that you do. And you might, there you are, muted. Great.
Right now, I have no question. I have no question. I don't know about these two. Trevor has no question.
Okay, thank you.
No question.
Take a look at the Nunavut one and see if you recognize the photo on the front that Neil took.
Yeah.
Awesome, thank you. Okay, we're going to go to Nathan, Trista, and then Haley. So, Nathan, do you have a question about any of these documents, or do you see how one of them might help you in the work that you do?
Yeah, actually, I was trying to get funding for my elders, and I was trying to incorporate the Inuit societal values, and I'm having a really hard time. I know Baker Lake is very modern. All our elders speak English. They're bilingual. And it's very hard to have traditional events or whatnot because it was hindered in the past. So I'm trying to get everything back, but like, we don't do much Inuit games. We don't do much Aboriginal stuff. We don't do much gummy making or, like, you know, the traditional values that, or the traditional stuff we used to do. Like I said, Baker Lake is so modern today. I'm having a really hard time trying to get the people grounded to our roots. Like, I don't know. Trying to get funding to incorporate that so I can do some type of programming that will get people out of their homes, especially the elders, like, you know, so they can get, I don't know, honoraria, I guess. A lot of them get bullied for their money by their family members and whatnot. I guess I'm trying to find a fix-all for a big problem everyone has, but it's, I don't know, it's very difficult. I don't know what to do. I'm lost.
Okay, well, what I would suggest is when you have a chance, take a look at the Nunavut framework for sport, physical activity, and recreation. And in there, there's a two-page piece that takes each of the Inuit societal values and describes them from a sport and recreation and physical activity perspective. I helped work on that, and I worked with the Department of Culture and the, I can't remember the lady's name who we worked with, but that might give you a place to start. So it might be even a starting point for a conversation. And we can have a chat too, like if you want to stay on the call a bit after, Nathan, maybe I can suggest a couple of other things that might help.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Anything that, at least even a direction, so I'm not just standing still.
Well, and Rebecca might be a good person to Rebecca might be good for you to connect with, too, because she's the executive director in training for the Nunavut Arctic Sport Association. So they have some suggestions for you as well. So that's another good connection. So thank you, Nathan. Okay, and Trista is going to pass. Her office is busy, and Haley's having a coughing attack. I'm sorry, Haley. So, Morgan, I don't know if you wanted to pop in the chat, if there's a question that you had about these documents or how you see using them in your work. And then let's go to Rebecca, Scott, David, Peter, and Tim. So I think, Morgan, well, you usually pop in the chat. So, Rebecca, if you think about these documents, do you have a question, or can you see how one of them might help you with your work in recreation?
Well, I just agree with what everyone's saying. For the Anything for Arctic Sports team that Nathan asked about, there's a 4-year strategic plan. I believe I gave him one of our documents to look at as well.
That's great, thanks. And probably that strategic plan for 4 years connects to the bigger framework and strategy for Nunavut for sport, physical activity, and recreation, as well as to culture as well, because I'm guessing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a great example of how something bigger might drive something that your organization does, and then how you use that to access funding and resources and things in the system. So thanks, Rebecca. Scott, any thoughts about these documents we talked about, any questions you have or how you think they might always popped it in there. You want to explain that a little bit more?
Just that we, you know, we see lots of documents, goals, strategies, all that kind of stuff, and you know, from my experience, it doesn't always translate into policies or programs that are actually helpful in achieving the goals that they aim to. So, you know, just not really a question that I'm expecting to have answered, but that's kind of the learning process I'm on, is how to actually hold our policymakers to account so that they can help us deliver on the programs, deliver on the promises that they made. Essentially.
Yeah, and when you explain it that way, just to reiterate that the Canadian sport policy is a policy, so holding our policymakers accountable works for that, but the framework and the common vision are not policies, they're sort of guiding documents. So if you read them, you'll see the difference, and there's just the structure, there's a different accountability with them. And when they first came out with the common vision, that was one thing I felt that was missing from it. There was no accountability for any policymakers or governments or anything really like that. It didn't appear to be, yes, we are going to do this. So it's challenging when we have these sort of guiding things that aren't really policy, right? So that makes it a bit more vague, I think. So thanks for raising that thought. David, any thoughts about these documents? Do you have a question, or can you see one of them influencing the work that you do?
Yeah, I thought they were good in terms of, let me just get to my document here that I had open. The document that I read through was we're talking about the common vision of increased physical activity, reduced sedentary life in Canada, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now I can't see what I had earlier posted in the chat. So what I can do.
I can read it for you if you want. Would you like me to read it?
I can quickly copy it and repost it.
Okay.
Which
is probably a little easier. And now that's reposted. So that leaves me with the question of what grants or other funding opportunities exist for organizations or individuals to boost their recreational activities and or offerings? In other words, what I'm talking about is poverty, especially with an increase in seniors in the populations. Pardon, the berries should have been barriers to recreation. I'm not finding that there's a lot of grants out there that are supporting senior populations with low incomes. For example, you have a discount at the Canada Games Center for seniors, but if you can't even afford the Games Center, then you're not going to be active.
Yeah, so I think what you're asking is several different levels here, David. Like you're asking for the right, the individual level, at the organizational level, but also at the broader level. One of our learning events, EF102, is proposal writing, and that definitely looks at different funding opportunities, and I think you're enrolled in to take that one. I won't get into it too much here, but it's definitely something to keep in mind that there's different levels, and I think you're implying that this is a problem throughout the system, which is a good implication to make, right? And that's why one of the goals for the framework for recreation in Canada is inclusion and access. So good point. Just a side note for anyone who's interested, the Canadian Parks and Rec Association has received funding from Sport Canada to support recreational sport. And so if you want more information about that, you can go and look at some of their news releases. That may be one thing. But David, we'll have more conversations about it. Don't lose this train of thought, because that's a really important one. That's one of the reasons why we do recreation. So thank you. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, and you can see just my follow-up statement on that, which was the second part. I believe that the money saved by investing into the seniors or those grants and stuff, reduce sicknesses, et cetera, we'll just have a healthier population.
Exactly. So very good thing to keep in mind. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Okay.
So, Peter, any thoughts from you about a question about these documents, or any thoughts about how one of them might influence the work that you do?
I was just looking through them all. One that kind of stuck out to me was in the framework for recreation in Canada. It's just like the kind of cover page where they like they describe their vision, values, principles, goals. And they say their principles are outcome driven. And I was just curious how they kind of quantify those outcomes. Like, I feel like it's kind of hard to really see the outcome in the moment too, but I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, that's another big question. So how do we quantify the outcomes? We started talking about the benefits in RF101 Recreation Foundations. And across the country, we have a national benefits hub, and it's getting reworked and revamped. So I will share more with you on that one, too. But great question. How do we do that? And especially across the country that's so diverse. So, yeah, big challenge. And Tim popped in the chat. Tim popped two things in the chat. One, he's put a website URL for CPRA for you. So just go to cpra.ca/funding, and you can find out about that funding I mentioned. I believe the deadline is November 10th, so you might want to take a look at it. There's we always have pretty good luck in small, northern, and remote communities at getting funding through things like that. So take a look at that. And then Tim also said that for him, the framework for recreation in Canada has a really good definition for framework, but it's not really resonating so well with the on-the-land views of recreation. And so that's something definitely that we need to think about. We need to think about a little bit more about on the land, on the water, and how that works for us in our communities and recreation. So a big takeaway then is these documents provide some guidance to us, but you don't have to follow them. You have to make sure, like Tim just said, you have to make sure it works for you.
So apparently these are all installed wrong, and yeah, they're not good.
Okay, I just I wasn't sure who was talking, but I just heard a few, so I just muted people's phones there. So sorry about that. So anyways, just keep in mind that these documents give you some guidance. They provide some direction, but really, as Tim pointed out, you need to take that direction from the culture where you are, from your local community, from your elders, and you need to think about what works for you in your local community. So really important. We're just about at the end of the call. This week, I'd also encourage you to look at the TRC calls to action, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's calls to action. And there are five that are related to sport. So please take a look at those on the slide and think about how you already, I suspect you already do, respond to some of these calls for action. For example, a number of you may be involved in encouraging youth in your community to try out for and participate in NAIG, the North American Indigenous Games. Or you might make sure that when activities are held in your region, that sort of traditional protocols or territorial protocols are respected. So just keep that in mind as far as the system too. So next week, we're going to spend a bit of time exploring sort of the public, private, and community parts of our system. There's a Jeopardy game that you can play to learn a bit more about that. It's number 4. Don't worry if you don't know the answers. It's supposed to be just fun rather than, you know, something that you have to get right. And you can try it as much as you want. But I also have a Yukon-specific one, and there's also a Nunavut-specific one in there, too, if you want to try different ones. This week's required learning activity, you've already done a bit of it on the call here. It just asks you to explore a bit more one of those big system influences and prepare one question and one statement and post those in the forum. And if you can, if somebody asks a question and you know the answer, please answer it for me so that that's really helpful. It would be great if you take a look at what other people are posting as well. So I'd like to thank all of you for joining this conference call. The one thing I was quickly going to mention is next week's required learning activity might take a bit more time than this week, so you might want to look at it. You have to actually sign up for doing presenting on one of the system parts, and you can add a part if there is one that you want to share that's not listed. So there's a link to a Google document in Activity 6, and when you click the link, just scroll through the list and put your name beside which one you want to choose, and if you want to choose something different, add it at the bottom, put your name. Please don't delete anything on that document, because if it's deleted, it's gone for everybody. So that would be great. And I'll make sure I send out some information about that so that you're clear on that. So if you have any other questions or if you want to chat further, like Nathan, if you wanted to stay on the line for a few minutes, I'm just going to finish the conference call recording or end the conference call recording. And I'd just like to say, Kianamik, Nekrumik, thank you, merci, Mana, Guanashish, Masicho, thank you for joining today and have a wonderful weekend.